Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now,
wonder what you tell me now.
Oh, fire!
maker, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preacher.
Awesome and wonderful Monday night. Always grateful, always thankful to still yet be amongst the living, and grateful that God continues to bless us, to have enough energy after working all day and doing the things that we do on a daily basis.
Just thanking God that He will energize us. Thanking God today for giving us the ability to be able to stay steadfast and movable, always abounding in His word, understanding and knowing that we are here for a purpose for such a time as this. I am thanking God as always for giving us all the opportunity to be able to declare and decree His word, to understand His word, to be able to stand on His word. And I just thank God for each and every one of you tonight as we speak about oneness, in particular, loving my spouse in the moment, because tomorrow is not promised. I know that tomorrow is not promised with it for any of us, but I do recognize, know, and understand the importance of us continuing to do the best and be the best that we can be as a spouse on this side of heaven. Just thanking God as always for giving us the ability to be able to understand and know why it's so important to focus on oneness. I mean, so many of us are married, Lord God, and so many of us don't understand how important oneness really is in our marriage. And I just hope and pray that we get the opportunity to do the things that we need to do. I just thank God as always for allowing my husband, Minister Jesse, to come forward and be the individual that he is for such a time as this, and be the individual that he will always be to continue to lead, guide, and direct us at all costs. I thank God once again for you and your marriages as you continue to study to show yourself approved. Thanking God as always for giving us this privilege and this opportunity to minister to you once again. If you have anything that you desire to say tonight, all we simply ask is you press 1 on your phone. You'll be placed in the host queue. And we are grateful and thankful to God that you will come with transparency and be able to speak and do the things that your heart desires for you to share to be able to be a blessing with someone else. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
And praise God. We thank God, give him our glory, honor, and praise on this first Monday in May. We thank him for his grace and his mercy, for it truly endures forever. We give him all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise, for he truly, truly is worthy to be praised. As Tammy said, we welcome you once again to Omega Ministry Group Monday Night Blog Talk Radio. We come this way every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, giving God our glory, honor, and praise, knowing and believing that as we give honor and edification to the Father, whatever we do, God will indeed be pleased. As the word states, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. So are you delighting yourself in the Lord? Are you delighting yourself in your oneness? If so, you can expect or begin to expect, if you're not seeing it manifest at this time, you will begin to see a manifestation that God is indeed still willing, still able to give you the blessings that he said from the beginning when he said it ain't good for a brother to live by himself. It ain't good for him to be trying to hang out by himself, that it's a better thing. He even said that when a man has found a wife, he's found a good thing. Think about that. The Father speaking to us just like a man, just like another brother, saying to us, it ain't good that you be by yourself. You need to get you a helpmeet. You need to get somebody that's going to be able to hang out with you, somebody that's going to be your equal, somebody that's going to allow you to be able to assess, to evaluate, to make a determination on what you should do in times such as this. I know we were chatting this morning that over the course of the last couple of weeks with many of us, and we were saying that, my goodness, it seems like so many are now transitioning out of here just this weekend. I know, Tammy, you had a call from one of your nieces where a cousin had transitioned at 53 years old. Again, seems like people are just going out of here right and left. I know my brother in Michigan, Brother Curtis, had a good friend who's been battling the infirmity for over 17 years, finally transitioned out of here this past week. So many that seems like it's an onslaught. And that's why tonight we came up with this particular subject matter, to love your spouse. Love the one that you with. Love them now, because tomorrow is not promised. The world is changing so rapidly. There's a quantum leap experience, L-E-A-P. There's a quantum leap experience that's taking place in all facets of life, including the reality of death. And so we can't depend on tomorrow. We're not saying we should just frivolously go out and just do something today versus planning to do it tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, or 5 years from now. No. But those things that you can do right now, don't put them off. Go ahead and get them done. I'm going to give you a mundane example. My wife, my queen, was going to go to this walk this weekend. It was a Crohn's walk. And she asked me, not real strong, kind of feebly, really, to be honest, like she didn't think I would be interested in responding or in going. And she asked me kind of feverishly, would I be interested in going with her to this walk to support Crohn's? And so, I mean, I didn't hesitate. I said, sure, because it reminded me of so many of those Saturdays that I had gotten up during the course of the last 40 years or so, not so much in the last 10, but prior to that, of all of those Saturday mornings when I'd gotten up and I was going out to run a 10K road race and sometimes to run a half a marathon or sometimes four times in my life to run the marathon, 26.2 miles. And so it was like going back to an old stumping ground, although it was a location I had never been to before. But I was curious in going, and also I had a desire to be supportive of my wife. Because, again, oneness can come in many forms. And part of oneness is just the willingness to get up and to do something that may not be on your agenda, to get up and do something that may be a late request, or you may have had nothing going on. You thought you were just going to chill out, but now you're being asked to do something, and you're willing to just do it. And then again, on the spread of moment after we went there, we had a great time, met some great people and encouraged some people and took the walk. We headed out and said, what are we going to do? Okay, let's go to Piedmont Park. And I'd be doggone. The place we normally park and said, well, you can't park in there. There's a special event going on. We didn't know what the special event was. So some kind of way, the van that was running the parking, when we pulled in there, he was out of position. And so he was out of position. We went on in, and there was one parking space left. And this is, I was like saying, oh, Sam, we should do this. He said, oh, yes, he would have liked. I said, okay. So we go in, and guess what? We took the last parking space, and nobody passed us whatsoever. So we started walking, and we saw all of this purple. We had seen all of this purple earlier out doing the crawl walk. So, what goodness, what is going on over here? Let's walk on around. They had all of these purple tents and all of these people. Another thing was going on, we saw on some of the T-shirts, they was having a lupus walk at Piedmont Park as well, just as they were having a Crohn's walk way up in a, I can't even remember the name of the park. You remember? I can't remember the name of the park at this time. Tell me, I can't remember. But it was a beautiful park, wasn't big as Piedmont. But again, doing something that starts out as a mundane thing, starts out just as a spouse said, oh, yeah, I forgot. I told my company we were going to go and I was going to be a part of the support for this Crohn event because, you know, we infused some of the products that these people use. And just by me saying, yes, I'm willing to go. I like to see what's going on and what they do with such a thing. I was blessed in the process. See, sometimes we have to take advantage of every oneness opportunity we can get, because we don't know when we may have another opportunity. And so I told my queen, even after that was over, I said, you know, I want you to know, I enjoy today. It wasn't on my calendar. It wasn't on my agenda. I know you said, hey, just take a day off and just relax and unwind. But for whatever reason, the Spirit of God moved over me and said, no, go ahead, go alone, be supportive. And I know I was blessed in the process of doing so just by going to something as mundane as going to a walk in support of Crohn's. And then thinking, okay, now you're going to go to Piedmont just to do a little people watching. And wow, you see a bunch of other folks out there in support of lupus. My point is, you can make oneness out of whatever. You can make oneness out of whatever, whatever, whatever. Because you never know. In a situation here, both of these, seeing these people, one young lady came up, said that her daughter had died due to Crohn's. And we know other people whose sisters have died due to lupus, young people. And so think about that. You have young people in their 20s dying from Crohn's disease, dying from lupus, dying from various forms of cancer, various forms of ailments, young people, so many that's around this country that's been shot, murdered, and killed so many people of middle age or older age, or just like in Texas, a whole family just gunned down and executed over these past few days by someone that couldn't maintain and have self-control, didn't know what walking in the fruit of the Spirit was all about. So we want you to know that loving your spouse in the moment is the right thing to do, because tomorrow is not promised. And so my main point here is simply that if your spouse asks you to do something that may be out of your comfort zone, may be out of something that you wanted to do, may not be something that you would have put on your agenda, but you could do it, why don't you give it a rethought? Why don't you reconsider? Because right there, even as mundane as you think it may be, it's again doing something together. It's again doing something where you both now have a common experience and a common exposure to a reality that's taking place in your life. And now you can sit down and you can analyze, and you can speak about the people, you can speak about the various spirits that may have been attached to the people that came up to the booth. You can speak about them and do an analysis and say, what do you think about this or that or whatever? Well, you're still learning. Because, see, my brothers and my sisters, we're always students. We're constantly learning all the time. We never get there. It's like we say in Romans when we read that powerful about we are striving to be good, to become that good, that acceptable, that perfect will of God. And as we become that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God, we'll be able to see and we'll be able to achieve all of those things that God said were possible. When we learn to seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. See, there's a righteousness when we're thinking about being the support of our spouse. There's a righteousness when we think about something that's so mundane that all we've got to do is give of our time, that we don't have to give up any money. We don't have to give up any resources, just our time. It's just our willingness to say, yes, I will go with you. Yes, I will support you. Yes, I will. And guess what? Sometimes it may be something that you know little about. You have no interest in. I can remember a time, Tammy, I remember the time you decided you want to play some tennis. And I can remember thinking many, many years ago, this was before I got, you know, exposed to Arthur Ashe and some of the other tremendous tennis players that are significant athletes right now. And I said, oh, my goodness, how could anybody like running around in some white shorts and a white shirt trying to hit a ball over a net? Little did I know how difficult that was. Little did I know how much skill was required to make that happen. But I was willing, because of my love for you, Tammy, and my desire to be with you, I was willing to go and see what I could learn about tennis. And so once I got involved and once I began to go and once I began to see our children get involved and once I began to see you get involved and see you help other children, then I began to say, let me really get an understanding of the game. Then I learned how to keep score. Then I learned the rules of the game. Then I learned who the players were. Then I learned what the tournaments were. So now I consider myself a full-fledged tennis fan, because it ain't nothing you could ask me about tennis that I couldn't give you the answer. But I can tell you when we moved here to Atlanta, I couldn't do that. But my willingness to humble myself and submit to a process of seeing a new game, running a new game that my wife was interested in, allow me now to become fully fluent in the game of tennis. What a wonderful thing. And now, of course, have given our children a game that they could play for the rest of their lives. It's like riding a bike. When you learn how to do something and when you learn the rules of engagement, you never seem to forget them. So what's our point tonight? What's the main point? The main point is you got to look for constantly, all the time, opportunities to be oneness. You got to look for it. I remember many times when the brothers would come together, and sometimes they would say, hey, we're going here or we're going there to play some golf, and we're going here. We're going to travel to the Bahamas. We're going to travel to Jamaica. We're going down to Florida. We're going here and there. My mindset always, well, if I'm going to go spend a week playing golf, if I'm going to go spend 5 days playing golf, I could see that in the middle of the week if I was doing it for business. But if I was just going to be going out and doing it on a weekend or going and investing money, going and spending that time out in the sun, then I'd much rather go and do it with my queen. So guess what? You did what I did, Tammy. You were willing to go out on the golf course. You were willing to go out when you didn't know anything about golf. You had been in some scrambles during your corporate days. You had played some scrambles, but you really don't learn the game that way. And I can remember that one day when we went out, probably your greatest day in your golfing career. We were on a flared golf, and Tammy could always hit the ball. You could always hit the ball really good, left-handed at that. And we were on a par five. This three finger holes that she had were just off the chain. We were on a par five. So I hit a drive, pretty good job, down the middle. Tammy hit one down the middle. So I hit my ball up to the green, and then Tammy hit her ball up to the green. But when we got up to the green, we only saw one ball. We only saw one ball. And so I'm thinking, okay, that's probably my ball. I'm thinking because, hey, I'm the best golfer, so surely that's probably my ball. So there was the guys in front of us. They were getting off the green. They kind of was chuckling a little bit, didn't know what for. So I didn't think about looking in the hole. I went past the hole, picked up my ball. Said, yeah, this is my ball, Tim. I said, where's your ball? So the guys sitting off the green, they still chuckling a little bit. I go behind the green thinking, okay, maybe she hit and the ball rolled off the green. And then all of a sudden she says, the ball that's in the pin, in the hole where the flag is. I said, what? So we go and pick up the ball, and I'd be doggone if it wasn't her ball. She had made an eagle on that hole. I said, I'd be doggone. She had made two shots back to back. There were incredible shots. And guess what? If she was not willing to go out and play golf with me, especially that day, if she wasn't willing to go out, she'd never be able to have the bragging rights that she made eagle on that hole. But that's not it. We go to the next hole. It was a par four, but it was kind of a short par four. And again, the way she could hit the ball, it was reachable. And so I said to her, why don't you just hit your best shot, hit a smooth shot? But I believe you can get the ball to the green. And so guess what? She did. She hit the ball, bang, hit the green. And I said, my goodness, eagle ain't no way. No, you can't go eagle. So she put the ball, just missed the cup, which would have been eagle. But she two-putted, made birdie. Two-putt birdie. My goodness. So now we go to the next hole. Go to the number eight hole, which was a par three. Hit the ball again on the green. I said, oh, my goodness. And then two-putted, just missed the birdie, two-putted for a par. So she had gone eagle, birdie, par. You know, by then, her head, big head. She was scared of to play nine. And so we get to the ninth hole. She does pretty good. Ninth hole is a tough hole. But we decide, no, let's just keep to the what we had agreed to play when we came out here, so you can have all of these bragging rights on how you beat me on these nine holes of golf. So we had a wonderful time, but it created a lot of oneness. And that's a true story that I just shared. There is no way we would have been able to share that story. She could share that story forever, how she beat me on those nine holes that day by going eagle, birdie, par over that stretch of holes right there. That's not easy to do for anybody, regardless of how long you've been playing. But at that moment, that day, see, that's what happens sometimes when you see a game like Steph Curry had last night or other night, 50 points in the seventh game, traveling on the road where nobody in NBA history had ever done so. And I'm sure there are not even many women, even when the women on the PGA Tour used to come here and play at Eagles Landing, nobody's gone probably like an eagle birdie par. It just doesn't happen. You have to understand the game to understand really what I'm saying. It's just highly unlikely. But see, I like to think she did it because she had a loving spouse, a loving husband, encouraging her, an athlete, someone that I believe is a very good athlete, teaching them a few things, being patient. And now, again, this is another game we can go out and we can play for the rest of our lives. We can get a golf cart, drive a tour, take a stick out and hit the ball, play for the rest of our lives. And now I understand tennis, we could transition, Tammy, and play some pickleball. So I don't know about you. I'm going to get some of your opinions about what it is and what it's like to be able to just trust God and be willing sometimes when it's not even comfortable, where it's not the best timing. You got time that you want to do some other things, but you take that moment for your spouse and you go ahead and you do something that you were not going to do, or you go ahead and make it happen. Your mic is open.
Well, Jesse, I will say, you know, those have been some wonderful memories for both of us. And part of this title tonight that we're speaking of has all to do with getting one day at a time and doing what we can, because loving you each and every day in this present moment, you know, I look forward to coming home from work to be here and be able to sit down and just think about how our day went, talk about how our day went, be able to think about, you know, what we may want our day to look like, you know, tomorrow. But living just for this moment is key. So many people don't. We get so caught up in making plans for the future that we forget about the moment. Now, I'm not saying you don't make plans, because a lot of times doing things decently and in order and being on track means doing it to the point where you are making plans, but live for this moment. Tell your spouse each and every day how much you love them. Let your spouse know and understand that it does take time. I mean, we're reading a book on my job right now called The Atomic Habits. And Atomic Habits mainly just kind of deals with dealing with, like, things at the moment, you know, just not trying to deal with massive things, but breaking it down and just dealing with a small percentage, say 1% each day of allowing yourself to get better, allows you an opportunity within that 1 year that you just want at least 1% each day to work on it. By the end of that year, you are at 37 times better than you were before you put that into play. And one of the things we got to do is, how can we get better in loving our spouse each day? How can we pour in to our spouse each and every day? So many of us have to understand and know that the number one thing, in my opinion, that really does and can make a difference in marriages is communication. And if we just say to ourselves, I want to improve my communication each and every day, even if it's saying I want to do at least 1% of improving that communication every day, just imagine how much better you will be just within that 1 year. And we don't have to look at things being so big and so massive, but break it down a little bit smaller. How often are you saying to your spouse when you come home from work, baby, I missed you today. How was your day? How often are you saying, baby, you look good today? You know, these are compliments. These are edifying. These are things that will help make for you to want to be in your spouse's presence every moment of the day, or at least in those special moments when you know you come back together. And I just hope and I pray that we take that opportunity to understand and know what marriage really and truly does look like. It's up to us to kind of decide what's the best way to be able to be in oneness with our spouse each and every day. We have to ask ourselves and be able to know, do we understand really what oneness means in marriage? I mean, so many people don't even use the word oneness. So many people don't even understand what oneness really means in marriage. There's going to be times when you have some disappointments or disagreements that you're going to have to work through. One of the things that I will say is do your part to work on. If you don't have it right now to the point where you feel you've mastered it, keep living and keep doing your part to study what you must do to be able to forgive and not hold grudges when you have a disagreement, to try to talk about the matter at hand and deal with that. We all fall short of that every now and then. We want to go back, you know, down memory lane and bring up things that happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and God forbid longer than that. But let's leave that behind us because that is what we consider now the past. Let's figure out how can we work together moving toward the future and toward the mark of the high calling to be the best spouse on this side of heaven. How are we going to do that? What does that look like in your household? Do you understand your spouse, who they are and what they're all about? Do you allow yourself an opportunity sometimes just to sit back and study who they are so that you can compliment them? As Jesse indicated, yes, I was one that was playing tennis. He was the golfer. And we both chose to kind of love one another's sports as well. I started playing more golf. He started playing more tennis. And that's called oneness. That's because we're looking at what each other likes and we're making that move to say, whatever it is that you enjoy doing, let me try it and let me work on enjoying those skills and working on those skills to be able to enjoy that sport a little bit more with you. It may be playing cards. When I first joined the Store family and when I first made that first opportunity to go over to Mama Store's house many years ago, and when we sat down after we ate, everybody was going around a couple different card tables. I didn't know what was going on because cards have never been a major part of my life. And then when I began to sit down next to Jesse, I really took a liking to Bidwin. Never played before. My husband encouraged me, sit down and play a hand and let me just walk you through it. And I sit down and I played that first hand of Bidwiz and never turned back. So it wasn't so much that I enjoyed doing it because I didn't know anything about it, but because he was doing it and his family was doing it, I chose to do something that I knew he enjoyed and something that he liked. I just want to encourage all of us to understand and know that we do have power. We do have choices in life. And make the choice today to be able to be the best spouse that you can possibly be on this side of heaven. Make the choice today that you can be able to choose to love your husband, your wife, to love them unconditionally through all of their ups and downs. Give them all you can by being there for them mentally, emotionally, physically. Because that's what it's going to take for you to be the best spouse on this side of heaven. God wants us to work on what we need to do, and that's our craft. And part of our craft is how can we become the best spouse on this side of heaven? How can we, in our hearts and in our spirit, want to be more like Christ? And being more like Christ is loving ourselves as we love ourselves. If we love our spouse as we love ourselves, guess what? We're going to do everything we can to make sure that person is happy because we're going to do everything we can to make sure that we're happy and that we're living a good life. I just encourage you, I charge you, do your part to make sure that you're loving on your spouse each and every moment of each day, because tomorrow is not promised.
Look, say, yeah, but I don't like no golf. I'm not interested in no tennis. Well, how about fishing? How about gardening? I mean, I remember all of us went fishing. We went fishing. Hadn't been fishing before. Went out on the pier down in Florida. It was so funny. And, you know, oneness again. Our baby daughter, Jaleel, wanted to go fishing. So, of course, one of the first things, thinking, well, Dad didn't want to do that. But no, Daddy said, okay, let's go fishing. Because I'd been fishing before, not a fisherman, but I'd been to fishing. But it was so much fun. See, sometimes to find oneness and to have sustained satisfaction, you got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to do things that maybe you're not comfortable doing. And when you're willing to get out of that comfort zone for your spouse, again, beautiful things can happen because they see that you are willing to do something that they know you didn't have on your agenda or something they know that you hadn't done before. Like, again, playing bid whist, some may say, wow, well, that seemed to be so mundane. That seemed to be so worldly. Well, hey, we live in the world, don't we? And we have to be able to have sometimes skills that the world has, because really ain't nothing wrong with playing some cards, nothing whatsoever. Yet at the other day, we sometimes can make ourselves so holy and so this and so that we miss opportunities. I mean, there are so many things that we could do. Watching a movie. I mean, sitting down, and my wife has a lot of administrative work that she has to do now. And there are a lot of times I'll do my best. Can't always say that I can hang on to the end. I'll do my best. But she's up early or up late doing this administrative task, and I do my best to hang out with her. But at the same time, I'm on a protocol. And some of you all know about what I'm battling, what I'm going through. And part of the side effects of that protocol is fatigue. It gets you sleeping, gets you tired, gets you whatever. And when I'm up, I'm going all the time. And then sometimes when I sit down, boom, that fatigue just hits and sets in. But again, praise be to God, my wife understands that. So she don't nag me, she don't complain, she don't say, oh, you can't even stay up with. She understands. So again, when you're doing everything you can to find that oneness, then you have a greater sense of tolerance as well when you think, feel, or believe that your spouse may be missing the mark. You may find out they're not missing the mark about nothing. But it's perhaps your understanding, your interpretation of what's going on. But we want to encourage you tonight to love your spouse in the moment, each and every day. Don't have no mindset where you'd be thinking, oh, I'm going to love you, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that when you do this or when you do that. See, we can even apply the golden rule to this, and especially we should apply it to our marriages. Do we treat our spouse the way we want to be treated? Do we? Or do we instead say, hey, you need to not do what I do, but do what I say, but I'm not going to give you the same kind of respect or the same kind of benefit of the doubt. No, we need to be consistent. We need to be consistent. And when we are consistent, we will find out that the law of reciprocity is in play. What do I mean by that? That means somewhere, somehow, it will all come back to you. Whatever you sow, the seeds that you sow, they're coming back. The same holds true in marriage. When you sow seeds, and you sow those seeds by showing your spouse that you are willing to do things even when they may not have been on your agenda, even when you have never done them in your life, but you're willing to put your mind to it, to put your time, and to satisfy your spouse. You're willing perhaps to learn new things. You're willing to go to places you haven't gone to in the past. You're willing to get out of your comfort zone because you want to love your spouse in the moment. Now, there are things that you may not want to do that we're not going to suggest you do just because of your spouse. If you really feel and you have an opposition to something that you feel might be dangerous to your health, then you share with your spouse and say, hey, I can't do that for this reason or that reason. And a spouse that loves you should understand. We're not saying tonight that whatever a spouse may want you to do, that's what you're doing. But we are saying tonight that you should be willing to get out of your comfort zone, to love your spouse in the moment, every moment that's possible, because tomorrow is not promised. We've unfortunately heard and seen some situations where suddenly, without warning, a spouse was taken and called home to be with the father. There was no warning. There was no indication that something like that could happen. And that makes life very difficult. But at the same time, we must know and understand that's just how it works. And we must know and understand that when that takes place, we don't want to have lingering doubts and thoughts of doubt about why didn't I do this more, do that more. So love your spouse right now in the moment. Love them tonight. Love them tomorrow morning. Love them tomorrow afternoon. Love them always. Because, see, love, like the word said, where it covers a multitude of sins, love will change things as well. And, see, there's no fear. No fear. God has not given us fear, especially when it comes to love. I mean, perfect love will cast it out. That's what the word has to say. And so we want to encourage you tonight to know and to understand that it's on us. It's not on the world. The world has no clue as to how you see your spouse. The world has no clue as to how much you love your spouse. But I can assure you this is what the world will try to do. The world being in that spirit that's opposed to seeing you be successful in your marriage. It'll bring up to your mind every kind of negative thought, every kind of thing negative that you may, it thinks you may need to know about your spouse. Because let's face it, there are some things that may annoy your spouse. There are some things that may annoy you. And the enemy's job, he's going to bring them up, have you bring them up to do everything he can. So I just ask a simple question. How often do you edify versus how often do you give a suggestion or a point of recommendation? Just ask yourself that question. If you find yourself giving more recommendations, more suggestions, and all of that, then you find yourself edifying your spouse, then you need to regroup. You need to check it out. Because, see, your spouse may be hearing all of those suggestions and all of those recommendations as being you saying you are unhappy with them, that you are not happy with the way they execute. You're not happy with the way they cook, clean, move this, move that, say good morning, say good night. Whatever your laundry list may be, the enemy's job is to have you to meditate on it day and night, because the enemy knows and understands that all scripture has a pro and a con, that there's an application of all scripture, every verse. And so when the verse says, meditate on this word day and night and observe to do everything that's written therein, and you have success and prosperity, the same thing holds true. If you meditate on everything wrong that you think, feel, or believe your spouse is doing wrong, and you keep meditating on it day and night, you keep regurgitating the day and night, you told your friend about it, you told your sister about it, you told your cousin about it, you told your brother about it, you told everybody about it that you could tell about it, guess what's going to manifest? Exactly what you've been confessing. See, we just got to get to a point where we can mature, where we can grow up, But we can know and understand, if I want things a certain way, if I want to experience a certain thing, then I must be willing to do those things. I must be willing to put in the time. I must be willing to put in the effort. If I'm willing to put in the time, if I'm willing to put in the effort, I know by the law of reaping and sowing, by the law of reciprocity, that at some point in time, not me, but the Spirit of God is going to prick the heart of my spouse, and it's going to come flowing back to me. That's God's promise, because that's the law of reaping and sowing. That's the law of reciprocity. And so I ask you again, do this before we leave. Put this down as your things to do. Make a list of all of those things. Make a list of all of those things that you feel are good about your spouse. All of those things. Make a list of all of those things. And then apply Philippians 4:8. Think on those good things. Think on those good things. Meditate on those good things. And then where you think, feel, and believe there's something else you want them to do, or you want to see a change happen in them, then by all means, begin to confess that as well. Lord, I thank you that my spouse is whatever it is you want. Lord, I thank you for their willingness to whatever that is. Lord, I thank you that we are whatever that is. And you keep on confessing it, and you keep on believing it. So my wife, I want to turn it back to you. Let you share whatever God has placed on your spirit. Your mic is open. Come on.
Amen, Jesse. I tell you, just awesome, awesome. I mean, just something so simple of tonight as we're speaking. We do have to live in the moment. We really do. And not worry so much about tomorrow, because we all know through the word that tomorrow promised. And one of the things I just want to encourage us in closing, that we need to do, some things that can definitely allow us to choose love. Just a couple of things through my research and as I was thinking about tonight's topic, one of the things talks about choosing to forgive when it's easy to shame the other person. That word forgiveness is always in the forefront of everything I do. Saying when it's easier to walk out, asking for forgiveness, serving without expectations. Also, one of the things that will help you love in the moment when you are listening, when it's easier to blame, we got to get those listening ears on more and more. Another thing that we can do is loving when it's easier to be bitter or resentful. Proud. I mean, these are things that if we just do a little small turnaround and embrace some of these things, we will know and understand why it is so important for us to embrace some of the scriptures that we know that so many of us have had an opportunity to study and to read and to understand. And when I think about some of the things that Jess and I just spoke about, just getting into the interest of your spouse is key. If it wasn't key, it wouldn't even be talked about in the Word. Philippians 2:4 tells us, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, you want to make sure you do your part to definitely show your spouse how much you really, truly love some of the things they do. And not only tell them that, but go out and get involved with them on some of the things that they enjoy doing. Another scripture that I know that is so important, it says, Ephesians 4:31 tells us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamp and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. I mean, if we can just send that stuff and put it back down, you know, the drain so it could be gone and never ever to return, you'd be surprised how much all would be willing to come home as a spouse and just love on one another and get into the oneness God created for you and be able to just enjoy every single day of your life. Last but not least, as I think about scriptures and I think about Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. I mean, this word, that word there is a constant reminder that we got to constantly be kind and forgiving toward our spouse. That there alone will make you want to come home and spend every moment that you can with the love of your life that God put together in most of us many years ago. And we want to prepare ourselves day by day, as I spoke about the atomic habit. Get in the habit of just loving on your spouse every single day. And before you know it, as you're getting older, you're going to love on them so much you can't get enough of them. That's what our desire is. That's what our prayer is for each and every one of you. So that when one of you falls sick, if you ever fall sick, and all of us, or none of us are going to be perfect. There may be things that come and go, just as Jesse indicated, some of the things he's battling. I have to be there for him. That is part of what I agreed to. And it makes it so much easier to be there for your spouse when you know that they're going through and they need more of your assistance and more of your time because you've allowed yourself to flow into that love factor to the point you want to spend every moment of the day that you possibly can. And I pray God's blessings upon you that you have that opportunity. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, as always, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for these awesome, powerful, strong men and women that have come to the Blog Talk Radio Show tonight that understands and knows exactly what it is that they must do and how they must do it as it relates to oneness and how they want to be able to love on their spouse every moment of the day, because we have to respect and honor today as a day that we have, and tomorrow is not promised to us. So, Lord God, where we missed the mark, help us correct it. Go and be with all of us and continue to allow our marriages to grow and prosper, because we know that's what you want us to do. Allow oneness to be operated in each marriage under the sound of our voice and throughout the land. Thank you once again for the privilege to be able to share your word with everyone that has made their way to the Blog Talk Radio Show so that they can be even better individuals, better spouses than they were just an hour ago. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Agape love.